Britain's Prime Minister Theresa May has made a last-ditch appeal for MPs to support her Brexit deal ahead of a key parliamentary vote tomorrow.
When the history books are written, people will look at the decision of this House tomorrow and ask, did we deliver on the country's vote to leave the European Union? Did we safeguard our economy, our security and our union? Or did we let the British people down?
That's the British Prime Minister Theresa May speaking overnight. The government's plan for Britain's withdrawal from the European Union is expected to be voted down in the House of Commons without the support of the Labour opposition and key Conservative MPs. Some analysts are warning its defeat will likely throw Brexit plans into disarray just weeks before Britain is due to leave the bloc on March the 29th. Tony Travers is a professor in the School of Public Policy at the London School of Economics. Welcome to the program.
Good afternoon. Good morning.
Now, we just heard from Theresa May saying that people will look at the decision of the House tomorrow and ask, did we let the British people down? Will the PM's Brexit deal survive the vote in the House of Commons?
Well, her position is very weak. All the indications are she's not going to win. A significant minority of her own party, those who are strongly in favour of a clean Brexit, wanting to get away as quickly and as far as possible from the EU, don't like it. And they will vote with the opposition, as you say, the opposition Labour Party, who don't like the deal for slightly different reasons, and a number of other smaller opposition parties. So I think the very greatest likely is that Theresa May will lose her vote. The only question is, you know, is it by a number above or below 100?
And why will that be significant?
Well, because this is, Brexit is one of the most important issues facing the United Kingdom.
Oh, I meant whether it's 100 or not.
Oh, I see. I'm sorry. Yes. The fact is that I choose 100 as a slightly arbitrary line.
Okay.
But because expectations have been talked up in the last month or so, remembering this vote almost happened on December the 14th and was pulled at the last moment. So the government itself has been privately.
I think we may have just lost the line there. This morning we're talking to Tony Travers.
So that if it comes back to a number than that, then, you know, even if it's just below 100, it won't seem too bad, even though it's a defeat.
So my apologies for interrupting then. We just had a little break in the line. I thought I may have lost you, so I'm glad you're still there. Just in terms of what happens next, let's assume that the vote goes down. I believe Jeremy Corbyn, the Labour leader, is now talking about a vote of no confidence. Would we expect that also to be something that goes against Theresa May? Is she likely to see a vote of no confidence get up against her?
Well, the opposition Labour Party have a leadership which is probably reasonably sympathetic to elements of Brexit, even though most of its MPs are against it, further complicated by the fact that many Labour MPs, though themselves against Brexit, have constituents who are in favour of it. So this is a multi-layer, complicated issue. And the Labour Party is supporting the idea of a general election so they have a chance to get into government so that they could take over the negotiations. Now, March the 29th is the end date for this process. There's no way there's going to be a general election and renegotiation between now and then. So what Labour is hoping is to trigger a vote of no confidence after Mrs. May loses, or they can do that. If they lose that vote of confidence, then we're back to square one. If they were to win it, it would be likely to trigger a general election. But even then, the question of the ticking clock to the 29th of March would presumably require the UK government to ask to suspend the whole process into the summer.
There seem to be some indications coming from the EU that they were willing to extend that March 29th date. Is that on the cards? Is that still a potential opportunity here for the UK?
Well, we don't know that officially, but the press, probably well briefed by the EU, have been saying this. And of course, an extension of the so-called Article 50 process, that's the process under which this negotiation is going on, is open to for Britain to apply for it and the EU to give it. All the evidence is they would, because if that happened, it opens up the slightest chance that that would then lead to another temporary suspension or permanent suspension of the process, which would, of course, leave the UK in the EU. And that's one of the things Theresa May and her colleagues have been warning today for Brexit, pro-Brexit MPs, that if this whole process is halted, then perhaps the UK would never leave the EU. And so there's now three options at least: her deal, no deal, and staying in. And that's before you get to things Parliament might put forward.
There are some, particularly from the Conservative side, suggesting that we need another referendum. So this is obviously in addition to a general election. What is the polling saying about the mood in the UK about this now?
Well, the polling suggests some modest move away from leave towards remain in the EU. But it's not a groundswell. And the reason for that is the British economy has continued to produce growth, if not massive growth. Employment is very high in the UK. So there's not been an immediate shock to change anybody's mind. And indeed, those who are pro-Brexit remain very pro-Brexit. So what you've got really developing, or has developed in Britain, is a sort of vicious culture war about the issue, about leave and remain, which picks up lots of other things besides. If I tell you that public opinion polls show that people are more now allied to remain and leave than they are to Conservative and Labour, that shows you how deep this issue has dug into British politics and the British collective psyche.
There's an extraordinary amount of damage being done to British politics right now, though, isn't there?
Well, there is. As I say, I use the context, I think I said a vicious culture war, and that's what I meant to say, really. It is an extraordinary thing for a democracy as old and developed and, you know, moderate as Britain's to end up with this temporary paralysis of the British political system with no majority in Parliament for any of the possible options, not Mrs. May's, nor apparently any others. There might be a majority against no deal, but quite how that gets through is another matter. But I can barely exaggerate to you the degree of force with which Remainers and Leavers 52, Remain 48, feel, or many of them feel, their position. So as I say, it's triggered a kind of culture war in British society, which is extremely bitter and will not go away in the immediate future, I can assure you.
The Defence Minister, Tobias Elwood, has reportedly become the latest frontbencher to threaten to resign if Britain leaves the EU without a deal, so if this vote doesn't get up for Theresa May. This is obviously putting an incredible amount of pressure on Theresa May. Is she likely to try to put the vote to Parliament again if it fails this time round?
I think it would be very hard to do it again. I mean, last time it was done on the 14th of December, her own cabinet colleagues were on the radio at 8 a.m. in the morning saying it's definitely going to go ahead, and then it was pulled late in the morning. And there's only a limit to which even Theresa May's struggling credibility, and, you know, she's had a lot of troubles over a long time now, there's a limit to how much even that could stand yet another retreat from the top of the hill. So I think that it's more likely this vote will go ahead, and that in a sense the air needs to be cleared. But having said that, if I'm mixing my metaphors a bit here, you know, that there's some evidence that Mrs. May's government is using the threat of the cliff edge and the potential damage that that would do to British trade in the short term as a way of trying to corral people to vote for her deal. But as I say, as of the moment, it doesn't look as if anything like enough will vote with her. And of course, there is this threat that ministers both in favour of Brexit and against it might resign at any moment on one of a number of issues. It's a political mess.
I noticed, though, that Gordon Brown, in commenting on this, I mean, he's one that's advocating for another referendum, but he's suggesting that she may, in fact, that Theresa May, in fact, come back with her proposal in an amended form, that she might try to push it through with changes.
She might do that. She might try to do that. And she's been trying since Christmas to get the EU27 to give her some further concessions that might make her deal saleable. But the truth is, the EU hasn't got enough space to give the kind of concessions that would be necessary to buy off the pro-Brexit or pro-harder Brexit group in her party. And so all the things we're discussing and possible new deals and possible further concessions by the EU are in the margin compared with the greater opposition, remembering that there's a substantial minority of Mrs. May's own Conservative Party who rather favour a no-deal Brexit. They think it would allow Britain, despite the short-term disruption, and there would be quite a lot of disruption to agriculture and manufacturing, but they think it would then be possible for Britain to strike deals with countries like Australia, like New Zealand, like America, African countries, and then to go it alone and, you know, in a sense, take the disruption followed by the sunlit uplands. The difficulty is that agriculture, manufacturing, and most MPs are so worried about the disruption, they can't even bring themselves to look through to the sunlit uplands in the medium term. They just want it all to stop.
And the worry, of course, is then without a deal, what the effect is with that border between Northern Ireland and Ireland.
That is an additional serious concern. For decades, there were troubles along the Northern Ireland border. And the fact that the UK and the EU were, sorry, the UK and Ireland were in the EU from 1973 onwards meant that when the Good Friday deal was done that ended the troubles in Northern Ireland, the fact that there was easy movement of people and economic activity, indeed farm animals, across the border has meant that it's evolved into a very much better peaceful place subsequently. Any thought of any kind of a hard border, even though both Ireland and the UK and the EU say they don't want it, the trouble is there are very few, if any, examples anywhere else in the world of an open border between different customs and trade jurisdictions without some form of control. And therefore, you know, Northern Ireland is one of a number of issues that besets this problem. And the so-called backstop that Mrs. May and the EU agreed is one of the things that most aggravates the pro-Brexit MPs, because they think it potentially keeps the UK in the EU if no other trade deal can be done into the future.
Yeah, certainly, though, European Union leaders have written a letter to the British government assuring it that the EU doesn't want to use the Irish backstop, but would use it only if strictly necessary. Theresa May seems to be using this as a legal assurance from for the Brexit deal. Is that going to have any legal force with this letter?
Has no legal force. I mean, you know, we're all these countries in Europe are, you know, mature democracies, and there's a strong, reasonable degree of trust between them, but it's not legally binding. And I'm afraid that from Mrs. May's point of view, the powerful minority in her party who want a clean Brexit, see this as simply what they call the risk of a sort of vassal state condition, where the UK under her deal, it goes on accepting EU rules and has absolutely no say in what the EU then does, at least till the end of the transition period. And then there's always a risk that that would be extended if no trade deal has been done, thus the Northern Ireland backstop as a cover for that. But I don't think anything that the EU27 can say to Mrs. May, it just hasn't got the... It isn't legally binding, and therefore the pro-Brexit hardliners in her party won't accept it, nor will the Democratic Unionists, who are a party of 10, not Conservatives, who support her, because, of course, she's running a minority government. So that's a further challenge.
Yeah. All right. Well, some interesting days coming ahead. Tony Travis, thank you for your time today.
Thanks a lot.
Tony Travers is a professor in the School of Public Policy at the London School of Economics.